The Nylander saga has come to an end. We can all thank our lucky stars that there's no longer a conversation. What did we learn about this process? What surprised us, and what can we take forward to next summer, looking at the massive list of players coming out of entry level that are going to need hefty raises?
Well, I think all those players and their agents learn that if you stretch this out until December 1st, it's not likely to hurt you. That you know, even after, you know, basically withholding your services or not being able to reach a deal with a team, that William Nylander didn't end up any, you know, behind in any way. I mean, I'm sure it's been tough on him physically. I'm not sure what his season's going to look like, but just in terms of the straight negotiation, you know, he ended up with a better contract on December 1st than he would have ever got on September 1st, October 1st, or November 1st. And so I do wonder if next year at this time, when we're going through our twice weekly hits, Ryan, if we'll be talking about a new William Nylander, you know, and it's too soon to say which of the pending restricted free agents that might be. But, you know, I do think that agents and players are going to view this as, you know, something that they could copy, especially if they don't like what they hear from the team. And you know, what we're really seeing is players earlier than ever before in this league have more power than ever before. I mean, they're making contributions in a way that you know, we haven't become accustomed to. It's not just one or two generational guys coming in and being really effective players at age 19 or 20. I mean, there's you know, numerous guys that fit that description across the league, and you know, I think that we're going to see those guys start to get paid more as a result, and not all of those negotiations are going to go smoothly. And so my takeaway kind of from the whole saga of a couple months of William Nylander is that this is just the beginning of what I think will be a trend, at least, you know, potentially it could be stemmed in the next CBA negotiations if there's a change to the rules around these kind of contracts. But you know, as long as the rules are what they are, you know, I think you're going to see more young guys miss time to really fight for the deal they think they deserve.
One thing I don't get a sense of, I do think if you're going to go buy 6 to 8 years, there's enough comparables out there. You can understand a band within a number would end up at. I don't get a sense that I have a clue what a bridge deal looks like for any of these young guys moving forward. Like, there's just so few of them now. I mean, how many years ago was Kucherov inking that bridge? Like, we're talking 3 years in the rearview mirror? I mean, philosophically, there's just a different approach on how you treat young star players. And I wonder what it would or could look like. And the one that I find especially fascinating is Brock Besser, because, A, his team's not going to be great next year, we don't think. And B, there's an injury history there that I would understand if the team didn't want to commit long-term dollars to him. Now, I'm not saying that's the tack they'd take, but I would love to see how that one played out. A bridge on a player like that where it's like, no. You have to prove to us you can be healthy. And he'd only played, what, a couple games that first year to burn year one off his contract? Like, this is a fascinating one for me.
Yeah, you had one tremendous season last year, you know, given expectations and how many goals he scored. And, you know, I don't know what this year is going to end up looking for him, which is his platform year. I mean, that could be it. I think, you know, where you might see a repeat of the Nylander situation is in a place like Winnipeg, say, where they have both Kyle Connor to sign and Patrick Laine, and they you know, they're going to be up pretty close to the salary cap. It's going to be, you know, a tough negotiation from the standpoint of finding numbers that fit everyone in and keep everyone happy. And so, you know, might one of those guys end up, you know, wanting to prove a similar point. Yeah, well, I'm really just saying that you're right. It's a tough go for him because of, you know, some doubts maybe about his health. What exactly is as a player? I mean, that was at the heart of the Nylander thing too. Is that the Leafs think really highly of him, but you know, when you get into some of the numbers he was asking for, over $8 million or a period of that negotiation, I mean, that could be repeated somewhere else where the team isn't fully comfortable with where a player's at in terms of their ask. And, you know, I do think Winnipeg is a place much like Toronto where they're going to have trouble fitting everybody in. And they have Kyle Connor coming up as an RFA and also Patrick Laine this summer. And, you know, it's early again to gauge how those negotiations will go. But you can invent a situation where it's going to be tough for them to sign those players to where they feel their value is just because of the cap. You know, could result in a standoff like the Nylander one.
We have a estimate for the cap for next year. What, $83 million? Does that mean anything? I know the PA has the right to use their inflator or use more of it or less of it relative to what we saw last year. It's going up at about, what, a 5% clip, which is an exceptional growth, but it's something for teams looking for a bit of wiggle room, I guess.
It is. I mean, it's the equivalent of one more league average player at this point. You know, $3.5 million is somewhere close to the league average. I mean, obviously, it doesn't work that way. You end up, you know, there's an inflationary element to it in terms of what players ask for. You know, some guys now are asking for a percentage of the salary cap, you know, when they're making their deals. And that, you know, results in contracts, you know, going up a little bit too. I think it's a fair number. It's a good number. You know, there's other factors that could happen. I mean, you know, if a few Canadian teams go on long playoff runs, you know, that's going to generate more league-wide income than if not. You know, let's, for example, say the Leafs with all the money they're able to draw. I mean, things like that could push it a little bit higher than 83, maybe even to 84 or something in that neighborhood. But I think that would be welcome news in a lot of places around the league because it's amazing. You know, there's probably 10 or 15 teams that are operating, you know, pretty close to the cap right now. And so, you know, getting that extra wiggle room will be a benefit to those situations.